Hey, folks, this is Brad Bright and the God is the Issue podcast, where we show how God is the issue in every issue. Now, the last couple of weeks, I've gotten a lot of questions on my last two podcasts, one dealing with Israel and Hamas. The other, well, I talked about the three questions, or the three reasons Bill Maher wants God to exist. And I haven't been able to get back to everybody, so I thought it's just easier. Let's do a podcast, answer a lot of those questions. So what's happening today is Kathy's going to ask the questions from the readers, and then I am going to attempt to answer them. We're sharing one mic today, so we're just going to kind of pass the mic back and forth.
Okay, so the first question that actually was asked quite a bit is, why can't they share it? Why can't they share the land, meaning Hamas, the Palestinians, and Israel? And isn't there just one God? So why can't they share it?
Well, you know, actually, it's a good question. It's the same question many commenters had similar questions like that. So the first question, is there just one God? Well, the answer is yes, there is. But here's the problem. There are many views of God. And that is the root cause. I mean, if you believe God is a God of love who says love your neighbor, love your enemies, then it kind of pushes you one way. If you said believe God is the God who said kill the infidel, then you do go a different direction. So is there more than one God? No. But there are many views of God. And that's not to say they're all equal. They're certainly not. Now, regarding sharing the land, which is what this person was asking. Now, I explained this in the full podcast. I recommend you go and see it. But both Hamas and Israel believe they have a legitimate right to the land. And those two claims are in direct conflict. The Jews feel like they have a right to be there since their ancestors lived on the land for thousands of years. The Hamas believes they have a right to be there since their ancestors have been there for 1,400 years. So I'm simply trying to state the perspective of each side to try to get into their heads to see how they view the situation. My goal was to simply understand the why behind the current war. However, there are two key differences between Israel and Hamas, and I'm just going to be very, very blunt. Hamas is acting like Freddy Krueger. They're the Freddy Krueger of the Middle East. They're intentionally gunning down innocent women and children who are defenseless and beheading babies. And folks, that is absolute evil. There is no excuse, no justification for that. Secondly, the Jews are willing to share the land, but Hamas is not, and Hamas rules Gaza. Now then, of course, some Jews in Israel want to push the Palestinians out as well, but the difference is they do not rule Israel. And the rulers of Gaza are saying to Israel, either leave or die. Now, if you want to understand that better, I recommend you go listen to the full podcast.
That is something that just is amazing to me, is that the Israelites, they're saying we can share the land. It is Hamas that says, no, we won't. And that they beheaded babies. Give me a break. There is something evil about that, and it needs to be dealt with. And I'm shocked by the people who are trying to justify that. It blows my mind.
Yeah, there's no justification.
There is no justification for that.
That's monstrous behavior. It's pure evil.
It is. It is.
Now, let me say, I'm not putting that on all the Palestinians, just on Hamas.
Yes, and that's a very important distinction mm-hmm. to make.
And in fact, there are Palestinians in Gaza who are my dear brothers and sisters.
Yes.
So let's be very clear, this is not on all the Palestinians. This is on the leadership of Gaza, Hamas.
That's right. And that's an important distinction. We hope you all get that very clearly. Another one that I found fascinating, several people asked this question, what would we non-Native Americans do if Native Americans gathered together to take America back?
Well, here's the big difference. Unlike Israel or Hamas, the Native Americans have zero chance of succeeding. It would be absolutely insane for them to try. So it's not even a reasonable question. However, I understand why people ask it.
Yeah, and I understood it when I read the question. It's like, what do we say to that? And it makes sense that people would ask it, and I appreciate you addressing that.
Yeah, and again, let me say, my goal in my podcast was to help people get inside the heads of the Jews and inside the heads of Hamas to help them help people understand how they're actually thinking, and it wasn't really primarily to justify one side or the other.
That's good. So another one that was rather interesting is someone, it sounds like they were kind of flippant in what they were saying, but they said, so I guess England had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, that's a little flippant. I guess the short version is, yeah, well, of course they did. But yeah, I think I need to give it a little more flesh it out a little more than that. See, I was trying to help people understand the big picture, you know, in light of thousands of years of history, not in light of just the last 100 years of history. You know, the last 100 years is just a very limited snapshot of what's gone on in that region, you know, beginning with the Balfour Declaration in 1917, and then with the establishment of the State of Israel in 1948. But neither Israel or Hamas based their claim to the land based on the last 100 years of history. So you have to go back thousands of years to really fully understand.
That's very helpful. Thank you. The other question here, Palestine was divided after World War II against their wishes, the person said. It's in the history books. In other words, Palestine was divided. It was against their wishes. So don't they have a right here?
Okay, what the commenter said was true, but it's only half the truth, and that's critical to understand. You see, Nazi Germany was, after World War II, was also divided against its wishes. See, the real issue with the Arab Palestinians is that they sided with the Nazis in World War II. Now, some people debate, you know, whether they did or not, because initially about 9,000 Palestinians actually joined the British Army. However, later on, 7,000 of those 9,000 deserted and went over to the Nazis and actively served the Nazis. And also, the leaders of the Arab Palestinians supported the Nazis. And as you go back and look at survey data from that period of time, back in 1941, it shows that 88% of the Arab Palestinians supported the Nazis. So some people leave out these facts, but these are important to understand. The Arab Palestinians brought it on themselves just like Nazi Germany did. They were not some innocent bystanders who got sideswiped by this. They were active combatants.
And that is so important to know. And I've been a little surprised at how many people really don't know the history of the area and what went on, and yet they're very willing to condemn without understanding any history. It's amazing. So here's another one, Brad. Another person made the comment that it all changes once you add the God factor. If you don't, then you can assume human history to argue it. But if you believe in God, you know it was promised to the Jews, period.
Yeah, that's a good observation. And I would say to that person, you are correct. According to the Bible, the land was promised to the descendants of Jacob, also known as Israel. That's where Israel gets its name from. However, in the books of the law, that is in the Old Testament, God also told the Israelites that he would remove them from the promised land for a period of time as punishment if they disobeyed him. And as the scriptures record, they did disobey him. Now then, in light of that, however, God's initial promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was never nullified. And furthermore, God did promise that he would bring the Jews back to the promised land, which is what we see happening today. Now, there's more to it than that, but that is kind of the Cliff Notes version.
Good. And another question that came up quite often was that Muhammad never said, kill the infidels. Brad had mentioned that Muhammad said, kill the infidels, whereas Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. And several people said, oh no, Muhammad never said, kill the infidels. What do you say to that?
Okay, yeah. What I would say is Muhammad said, kill the infidel. Jesus said, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Just juxtaposition. So the response was, Muhammad never said it. Okay, technically, if you believe Allah told Muhammad what to say, word for word, you know, and he was simply a secretary writing down the words of the Quran, then I guess you're right. However, that's even worse. It's not just now Muhammad who said, kill the infidel. It's Allah himself that said, kill the infidel. Maybe from now on, I should say, Allah said, kill the infidel. And Muhammad was simply Allah's secretary taking down dictation. Either way, that's a huge issue.
It is a huge issue. And the interesting thing is that very same person that made that comment about Muhammad also said that Jesus said, kill the infidel as well.
Okay, can I say anyone who's even cursorily read the Bible knows that's not true. Obviously, whoever said that has never read the Bible. Let me tell you what Jesus actually said, and it's nothing like that. What Jesus said is, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. And then he modeled what he meant on the cross where he gave up his life for friend and foe alike. Muhammad never said anything like that. Muhammad never did anything like that.
Very good distinction. So important for us to know the radical, radical difference between the two. So Brad also mentioned in the podcast, what do we do as Christians? How do we respond? And one of the things that he had suggested is that we are to build relationship with people who follow Islam, and that in that relationship, one, they in the religion of Islam and Muslims value relationship. And so let's enter into relationship. It's a lot harder to hate people that you're in relationship with. However, and understandably, one of our listeners wrote the question, does that mean pro-Hamas ones as well? Not taking issue with developing relationship with Muslims, but what about pro-Hamas Muslims?
Actually, that's a good question. It's a legitimate question. My goal was to say, there's a lot of Muslims in the U.S., Arab Muslims who are first-generation immigrants. Let's go build relationships. I mean, if you don't know any Muslims, go down to the local mosque and introduce yourself and say, you know, my name's Brad Bright, and I just wanted to come down and build some bridges of love. And so let's just start a dialogue. Can I take you to lunch? And let's just talk. The point is offer the possibility of relationship. So in light of that, this guy says, well, what about Hamas? And my answer is, well, of course, Hamas in particular, if they're angry Muslims, offer them relationship. You see, love is more powerful than hate. As Martin Luther King said, darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that. Now then, I'd encourage you, if you haven't, to go back and watch my full podcast on Israel and Hamas, What's a Christian Can Do to Do. And let me just end this segment of the Q&A by condensing the words of Jesus to 8 words. Love God, love your neighbor, love your enemies. See, God is the issue in every issue, including the current conflict going on in Palestine today. Again, this is Brad Bright and Kathy Bright with the God is Issue podcast. And if you'd like this podcast, remember, please don't forget to like it or to subscribe. Thanks much.